If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Just a devotional. We've been going through some, heavy-duty stuff, taking a long time. And I wanted to give us all the time we wanted or needed for the prayer time. So just some devotionals here for a while. Luke 9:23. This is a passage that has a two other places, Matthew 16:24 and Mark 8:34, that talk about this. But in this particular one, he says something else. He uses the D word. Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." Then the other D word. "And take up his cross daily and follow me." Luke's the only one that uses the term daily, and that idea, to take up your cross daily, really doesn't change the meaning, but it certainly focuses the meaning. The cross was the instrument of death. It was the thing of capital punishment. And so to take up the cross is to head out for your death. So for him to say to do it daily already indicates he's speaking symbolically. He's speaking in the sense of dying to self rather than just dying. Except for one brief reference in Matthew 10:38, this conversation marks the first explicit reference in the Bible to the practice of crucifixion. The fact that he can say it just right out certainly gives us to assume that the disciples were already well aware of this typically Roman method of execution. I don't see how they could have missed it. To see that done, and these were public executions, you understand, at a time when they perhaps recognized that seeing someone die so horribly would make you think, I don't want to end up there. Dr. Mike has, I don't know if he still holds this, but had often mentioned that he thought maybe public execution, publicly televised, even requiring people to see it would be a benefit to our country. Today, we think no matter what I do, the lawyers can get me off and so on. Taking up the cross then refers to that usual requirement that each condemned man had to haul his own cross piece to the place of execution. Jesus knew that he would soon have to be doing this himself. Perhaps you can turn over to John 19. Look at verses 16 and 17. John 19:16-17, the record of when Jesus took his cross. John 19:16, "Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull," which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. We hear this idea of taking up our cross, and we've mentioned this before. Christians sometimes use the phrase without much appreciation of its true meaning, thinking that some burden that they have, like sickness or poverty, is the cross they must bear. That's not to say that these things can't be serious problems, but they are not instruments of execution like the cross was. So in effect, the Lord was telling his disciples and telling us by extension that following him must mean nothing less than a daily willingness to die for him if need be. This is not only to be the martyr, faithfully standing for Christ, though they threaten your life. It is also the daily willingness to not demand that you will run your life your way. This is where, to yourself, to your way of doing things, you are willing to die. Now, we know that the scripture does tell us that that God gives to us, to the faithful people, he gives to them the desires of their hearts. But this is not to say that every desire of your heart is a good one. It is certainly not to say that every ambition of man will be rewarded of God, or that we can trade our obedience for that payback, you see. All right, I'll do what he wants as long as I get what I want. That's not really obedience. This is a trade-off. This is what Satan thought Job was doing, if you remember. You pay him well enough, no wonder he obeys you, you see. Another thing that we need to recognize here is that Christ taking his cross, and with that in mind, telling his disciples to take up their cross, does not just mean be faithful unto death. It means that as he took up his cross, because that was his ministry, that was ultimately his sacrifice. We were talking last month that he was born to die, that he knew this when he came. He said that in John 17 as he's praying to the Father. And he says, you know, and they're in the garden, but for this cause came I to this world. So he came to die. That was his ministry, his service. We've mentioned in times past that many of the liberal churches call their pastors ministers. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that that's kind of an interesting thing, because they divide the pastor as the minister and the people who just come and watch. And it's the whole clergy-laity thing, which is actually an unscriptural concept. When we recognize that each of us, as a believer, have been given the ministry of reconciliation, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians. We have been given the word of reconciliation, therefore we have the words for our ministry supplied. And in that we are to be ambassadors for Christ, in the place of Christ, beseeching people, be reconciled unto God. As if we were Christ, we take his place to do that. So you say, yes, but I have my own plans. I have my own... look, he's under conviction. He's coming forward. Ethan, two-thirds of the way down the aisle. You and I have a ministry. It has been committed to us by God. We are ministers, you see. You and I are ministers of God. The pastor has other duties to the other ministers, but we're all ministers. So let's not forget that. We all have a ministry. We all have then that burden, that cross to bear. And with it being a cross, it is a ministry that lasts to the time of our death. It is a ministry that says, I do not put myself first. As Christ said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. You see? That's then our ministry. That is dying to self. Christ on the cross was Christ on the throne. And he gave that up. And he came here to do that ministry. He came born to die. The Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15:31, he says, I die daily. He understood these words of Christ. He understood them in a very practical way. For him, part of that dying daily was receiving beatings, stonings, putting himself in areas of danger. Many disciples, both in the past and in this modern day, have and are suffering martyrdom for Christ's sake. And let us not suppose that there's something magical about us and about this land that that could never happen here. If it could happen anywhere, it could happen here. And if you recognize that already people are making philosophical arguments for the killing of the unborn, for the killing of the aged, for the killing of the defective. That's scary, because who decides who's defective? You know that most of the people in Washington think we're defective. That's why we're here. We can't handle life on our own. We have to have some sort of a crutch. We're defective. And like Hitler, with his final solution, the idea is to wipe out the Jews, or the people that have these beliefs. Many disciples are suffering martyrdom and have suffered martyrdom. But each of us, it's one of those situations, I've told you before, but my wife told me, before we were married, she told me that she had a dream about the people of our church, and that the communists, then that was one of the big concerns, you know, that the communists had come in, and they were interviewing people of our church, and they were saying, deny Christ or we'll kill you. And one by one, all the men of the church were saying, I deny Christ. You know, always been on your side. and just giving up. And then she said at the end of the dream, she said, and then I heard they were coming to your house, she said to me. So I had to finish the dream, you know. I had to think, well, then what would I do? And that's the point here that Christ is making, that right now, before the gun is aimed at you, right now, before your house is threatened with burning and your family with murder or worse, you are to decide what you will do for Christ. Now in the calm, rather than in the storm, you decide if you are willing to love him more than anything and anyone else. And if you are willing to give even your own life. All should be at least willing to deny themselves each day. Taking up the cross does not necessarily mean dying as Christ did, but it does mean consciously dying each day to the world and living unto him. Galatians 5:24, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. We need to be those who gladly affirm the testimony in Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory, that I should boast, save except for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, by his cross, the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Spurgeon preached on this verse and called it the story of three crosses. The cross of Christ, the cross by which the world is crucified to me. We nail that to the cross. But also the cross where I am nailed to the cross unto the world. As the world sees me, I'm dead. I'm dead as far as they're concerned. The daily cross. And he said unto them, If any man will come after me, if any man will be my disciple, will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.